Thank you, Tom. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Way of Truth. My name is Kenny Chumley. I preach for the Gibson City Church of Christ, and it's a genuine pleasure to have you with us today for our Sunday morning Bible study as we continue looking at the subject of the truth of Christianity. Before we get to that, I hope you'll give me a couple of minutes here to tell you about the church in Gibson. As I remind you every week, we at the Church of Christ are nothing but Christians. We're not part of any denomination. We're simply trying to be followers of Jesus. And to that end, we meet every Sunday to worship. And we'll meet this morning at 9 o'clock at our building on the south side of town, right on Route 47, the first building north of the Pizza Hut. And at 9 o'clock, our worship will begin with Bible classes for all ages. In the adult class, we're studying the life of Christ. And at 10 o'clock, our worship will involve singing and praying, reading scripture, we'll eat the Lord's Supper, and we'll have preaching from the Bible. I'm doing a series through the book of James, and we're in James chapter 4, the second half of James 4 this morning, and we invite you to come out for that. At the conclusion of the sermon, we take a short break, and then all those who wish to stay will have a second Bible class. It lasts anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes. And this coming Sunday, we will begin a new study in the book of Leviticus. Now, on Wednesdays, we have a midweek Bible assembly. It begins at 7 o'clock. It lasts for an hour, and we have classes for all ages on Wednesdays. And in the adult class, we're studying the book of Revelation. Last Wednesday, we had a tremendous study on Revelation chapter 10 and 11, talking about the interlude between the sounding of the sixth and the seventh trumpet blown by the angels. And so we'll be looking at the seventh trumpet this coming Wednesday. If you've ever wanted to study Revelation, it is not too late to jump in on this class and meet with us this coming Wednesday. Now, we have a website, the GibsonCityChurchChrist.com. Actually, it's just GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com. And if you go there, you'll find audio files of these radio studies. The one I just concluded a few weeks ago on prayer and the ones we've done thus far on the truth of Christianity. You'll find audio files of sermons. You'll find our Sunday bulletin. You'll find correspondence courses you can do and more information about what we believe. And that's all to be had by going to the Gibson City Church of Christ.com. But don't type in the, just Gibson City Church of Christ.com. In the past 3 weeks, I've been talking about truth and how that truth is reality. And reality is known, truth is known in two ways by us. We know some things by reason, we know some things by research. There are some things that God has just pre-programmed into us. Knowledge that we don't go to school to learn, that we don't have to conduct any experiments to discover. We just know that you can't have a square circle. Things logically contradictory cannot both be true. We just know that you can't walk in two directions at the same time. Our reason tells us that. But our reason doesn't tell us how many planets there are in our solar system. Our reason doesn't tell us if a fox is more closely related to a dog or to a cat. No, to know the answers to those things, we have to do research. And research involves our senses, our sight, hearing, taste, touch, and smell. And by utilizing our senses in research, we can learn a great deal about the world around us. Now, God has communicated to us through His creation. We look out on this cosmos, this universe, and our senses take it in. Our senses apprehend it. And our reason, our common sense, tells us that this universe cannot explain itself. Our reason tells us that the explanation for the universe is not in the universe. We put the universe under microscopes and under telescopes, and we conduct careful observations, and we build rockets and launch them to the moon to bring back dust and dirt and samples that we analyze. And on the basis of everything we've seen in nature, everything we've seen in this universe, our reason tells us this just didn't happen. There is no way possible, based on what we know from observing the universe, to explain how the universe came to be. Creation, the Bible says, testifies to God, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." The only explanation, our reason tells us, for this universe around us is that there had to be a supernatural being who is the cause for everything that is natural. Now, the study of God's work, the study of the creation, the universe that he built, can tell us some things about God, but what we can know about God from a study of his work is very broad and general. William Paley wrote a book called The Evidences of Christianity, and in this book he used a famous illustration. He talked about somebody walking through the woods, and they come upon a pocket watch. And they pick up that pocket watch, and based simply on that pocket watch, they would deduce that there was a watchmaker. They didn't think that pocket watch just evolved out of nothing or pre-existing material into its present condition that they found it in the woods. No, they think there had to be a watchmaker who made that watch. Now, by looking at the watch, they could know the minimum amount of knowledge and skill required by the watchmaker. He had to have enough knowledge and skill to build the watch, but we wouldn't know by looking at that watch if he had the knowledge and skill to build, say, a nuclear reactor. We can determine his minimum amount of knowledge and skill, but we can't determine his maximum knowledge and skill from the watch. And further, we wouldn't be able to determine if one watchmaker made the watch or two or more were involved in the production of the watch. And so while there are some things we can know about God from this universe, just like there are some things we can know about a watchmaker from finding a watch, there's a lot that we can't know about God just from this universe. So, if God's wanting to give us more specific information, more detailed information about himself, how can he do that? He's communicated to us through his work. How can he give us more detailed information about himself? Well, one way I can think of is by communicating to us through his word. You know, speech is the most facile means of communication that we know. We can say so much more through our words than through our works. Now, sometimes actions speak louder than words. I understand that. But I'm talking about the ability to communicate detailed, specific information. We usually do that through speech. And I believe that's what God's done. I believe God has revealed himself by speaking to us. Now, think about this. If God chose to speak to us, how would we know it was him and not someone pretending to be him? How would we know it was God speaking to us and not someone else? You know, in ancient times, kings would sometimes send a message. And to authenticate their message, they would have some type of seal, some type of signet. And often they would write the letter, the king would dictate the letter, it'd be written down, and then it would be folded, and some wax would be placed on the letter somehow. And they would take the king's signet, which was unusual in some way, but recognizable, and was something that only the king possessed. And they would take that signet or that stamp, and they would stamp it into the wax, leaving an impression. And then anyone getting the letter would look at that and say, "Oh, this came from the king. This is the king's sign. This is the king's seal." Now, today, when we want to verify someone's identity, we use things like fingerprints. And the value of a fingerprint is that while people may be able to copy my handwriting, to counterfeit my handwriting, they can't counterfeit my fingerprints. I'm the only one who has a set of fingerprints like I've got on my fingers. Now, if God wanted to reveal himself to man by speaking, what could he do that would let us know that it was indeed God who was speaking and not someone else? Well, he could do that by including a seal, including fingerprints with his speech, with his communication. And the fact of the matter is, that's exactly what God has done. God has spoken to man, and God has authenticated himself to man in an unusual but recognizable way that only he can do. And you know what the means is by which he has authenticated his speech to us? It's by what we call miracles. Now, what is a miracle? The British philosopher, famous atheist philosopher Anthony Flew, said this. He said, "A miracle is something which would never have happened if nature had been left to itself. A miracle is that which would never have happened if left to itself. A miracle is something supernatural, something over and above and beyond the ability of nature to do or to produce. A miracle is a special act of God that he inserts into the normal and natural course of events." And so how does God tell the world, "This is my word"? How does God let us know, "This is me speaking"? How does God let us know, "This is my messenger who is speaking for me"? Well, he does it through miracles. Now, I think that's easy enough to understand. Professor Ronald Nash, a few years ago, went to Russia, and he went there to speak to Russian educators, and he was trying to figure out how he could talk to them about God. He's going to be talking to people who have come out of 70 years of Soviet atheistic influence, who have been taught an atheistic worldview. How is he going to reach these men to try to talk to them about God? And he came up with an idea. And so he walks into the room where all of these Russian educators are, and he has two boxes, two small boxes. One is closed, one is opened. And he set those boxes in front of the educators. And he picked up the closed box, and he said, "Now, this closed box represents your atheistic worldview. This closed box represents the physical universe and everything that's in it, and there is nothing else outside it." He set the box down, then he picked up the open box. He said, "Now this open box represents my theistic worldview. I believe that the physical universe exists just like you. But instead of being closed and there's nothing outside it, I believe there is something in addition to the physical universe that is outside the physical universe and that can manipulate the physical universe if it wishes." And Nash put his hand inside the box. And he said, "Just as I can put my hand into this open box and manipulate things and move the contents of the box around if I want, that's what God's done. God created the world, and he's outside the world. And when he wants, he can reach into the world and manipulate the things that are in this world. The God who made the universe out of nothing can reach into this world and part the Red Sea. He can reach into this world and stop the rain. He can reach into this world and bring fire from heaven. He can reach into this world and change water to wine. And by the miracles that God performed. He authenticated his word, what he was saying, and the messengers who represented him and through whom he spoke. Well, I'm out of time, and so next week, Lord willing, we'll get back to this subject of miracles. It's important we understand that miracles are what differentiate the true religion of heaven from human religion and all pretenders to the throne. I hope you have a good week. I look forward to being with you again next Sunday at 8 o'clock right here on The Way of Truth.